You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So while the intentions of many missionaries have been noble, not all their actions have been without controversy. So from accusations of cultural imperialism to misunderstandings with local traditions, the history of missionary work isn't always easy to reconcile. So let's take a look at both the light and the shadow sides of their legacy. We're joined once again by one of the missionaries, who is Pastor Andrew Phiri, who's going to be helping us with this one. Mfundisi, Murubwanje. You tripped on your own language.
I did. I was confused at how good yours was, and I tripped
really?
On my own.
Really?
How are you today?
I'm good, and you, Pastor? How are you?
I think I'm okay.
Really? No, that's good to see. That's good to see. So thank you so much for coming through to speak to us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on tonight.
Indeed. Before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Father, we continue on this discussion, and we just want to continue learning from you. So we ask that you help us with the words that will answer these questions, so that even the listener is blessed and given the right guidance. This is my asking and prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. You know, I've been all fascinated this week. It's day three today when we're speaking about all things missionaries and, you know, the work that they do, because it highlighted for me that there's a lot of work that is being done and that needs to be done. So we need to, you know, pick up and do the work. But today we're looking at, you know, the dark side, you know, and also the light side, because it's true, because I think with all or any job or any task, there's always, you know, the bad and the good with it. So what are some of those, you know, common criticisms that are directed at missionary work, you know, throughout history? Because I believe it's not new to the missionaries we're having today. Even people back then, you know, they would face such things.
That's very true. And one of the loudest, and I think one of the most common ones, is that we really don't care about the people, but we just want to convert them. Mm. So people will either shun the work because they don't feel like it's them you're interested in. They just feel like you're interested in them to be a number in your church. Mm. There's a question I was asked by one of the leaders in the community, and he was asking, well, we're not SDA. Will we be admitted to this school that you're bringing?
Okay.
And I said, yes, but why would you think so? I said, no, because we've encountered other places where if you do not join that church, you do not have access to their services. And so there's things like that. You also have people who come into the area and not consider the culture of the area, so they begin to suppress the culture or to erase the culture, as has been seen, I think, in some of the work that the old missionaries did, and that's part of the criticism that comes from there. Then there's also the criticisms of coercion. There's a place where I served once, where rice was used for baptisms.
Mm.
In fact, it was a whole package of food. So food is put across the river, and then you're told, come through the river, be baptized, get on the other side and get food.
Hi, boss.
Oh, yes. So there's that. And where people come in believing that their values are better than the local values, those are some of the criticisms you will hear. I mean, there are a number. One more I can give you is that there is experienced a lack of accountability and transparency in some of the work that certain missionaries will do.
Mm.
So, yeah, those are some of the criticisms that you hear about.
Yeah, it's the first time I'm hearing that one of baptism.
oh no, it's on Facebook. I'll send you a link.
Please do. Yes. I want to see it. I want to see it for myself. But the thing is believing, you know. No, I hear you. And, you know, so looking at, you know, missionary work that has been done, you know, because sometimes it's contributed, you know, to cultural erasure. I thought I was going to say it wrong, erasure, you know, or the suppression of, you know, local traditions. Has it really done that? And if yes, how has it done that?
So it has.
Mm-hmm.
I like to say that tradition developed out of a thinking brain.
Okay.
People were thinking and somehow it worked. So when we get into a location, before we just rubbish everything that people are doing, it's important to follow how they were thinking, because then you can help them replace their thinking with kingdom thinking, with gospel thinking. But we've had people enter a space and begin to impose Western values or practices or their own values and practices without understanding how this particular community worked with their values. And then you have people entering and just quickly dismissing these people's spiritualities, the indigenous spirituality. There's people who have, the God of rain, the God of this.
Yes.
As a missionary, you can enter the space and introduce them to God, who is God over all.
Mm.
He is God who brings rain. He is God who helps in the harvest. These are not different gods. It's one God presenting or being understood in different experiences. But we get into a space and then dismiss their spirituality and want them to take up our spirituality, which goes on to erase their own culture and suppress their understanding and expression. Then you have also this failure to acknowledge local expertise. So you're developing a project in a local context, but you're bringing experts from outside, almost to say that the people in the local community cannot do anything. But how are you going to empower the people if you're not giving them the opportunity to actually do the work that you're bringing into the community? So one of the things I joke and I tell friends is some of the work that missionaries are doing is to empower the local people so that they're able to work with their hands, and then they can return a faithful tithe.
Yes.
Then that February sermon during Stewardship Month of Emphasis will not be noise in their ears.
Yeah.
Because now they have a job or they have some work or some skill that can bring some money for them.
Mm.
Then one more I can just give you is that some missionaries will enter a location and begin to forbid local customs.
Yes.
And languages.
Yes.
I love how in Indonesia, God is Allah, because that's the language they speak, or Tuhan or Allah, you know. So you hear it in the Christian circles. People say Tuhan and others will say Allah, and they're talking about God. And I love that it's like that, and that nobody has stopped them from saying Allah. And telling them, or say God instead. But there are certain areas where this particular missionary was uncomfortable with Allah, and then, you know, taught people to say, you can't say Allah, that's a different God. Those are some of those areas where cultural erasure is happening.
Mm. So looking at, you know, all these examples that you're giving and what we have seen and witnessed, you know, how can now, you know, missionaries approach their work, you know, to be more culturally sensitive in a way? And I love the example you gave about the thing of you know, the person in the people in Indonesia, because me as well, I'll be like, Aibo! What are you guys saying? You know,
yeah,
those kind of things. So situations like that, where sometimes when you're saying God in a different language, it's like you're swearing. It's like you're saying something else, you know, because of the different language dynamics. So how can missionaries now, you know, approach this work being knowledgeable that, hey, I might actually say things that I might not be comfortable with, but it's the language.
We must understand that missionary work will take time.
Mm.
I think sometimes people have gotten used to this hit and run kind of a thing, where you get into an area, preach for 2 weeks, baptize, and then you go and never see these people again. But when you're a missionary, you're in there long term.
Mm.
And so you must prioritize listening and learning.
Okay.
And understand that learning takes time. So you're going to take a lot of time to just get into this community and try and understand how they view things.
Mm.
That's going to help you understand why they say Allah.
Okay.
And then you will understand that Allah is just a word for God, and that God is not a name, it's a title. And then maybe you become a little more comfortable with having them say Allah in church, you know. So when we prioritize listening and learning, it becomes easier to do this work among people of a different culture. Then you also enter the space partnering with the local leaders. Really, it's that quotation that Ellen White has given us in Ministry of Healing, page 143, that we famously quote Christ's method alone. When we come and show genuine interest in these people's lives and genuinely meet their needs, we can come and then say, follow Jesus.
Okay.
And they will have an easier time because they have seen that we care. They have seen that we care. Another one is just being able to respect cultural differences and traditions. Because after you've learned why people do what they do, you begin to realize, hey, this isn't exactly, like, it's not overtly against God. It's just the way these people do what they do. So maybe this is something that they can continue to practice. I think it's an intelligent ministry, this being a missionary, because you're learning to do this dance of just respecting some of these practices and some of these traditions and differences. Maybe one other point to share is that we must learn to empower local experts, and encourage ownership in this particular work that we're getting in to do. So if it's like we're doing in Chisamba, the locals are the ones building, so that years down the line they can come and say, I built the school. They're the ones coming to do the work even as they are learning, so that years down the line they can come and say, I participated in this great work. So those are some of the things that help us to be more sensitive to the culture as we're doing this missionary work.
And besides that, just to there before we go to the next question, there's also the issue of when they have built, they will now take they will take care of the building more than that if it's just just been, it's there, people came, they built, that's it, we're not involved. But now when they're involved, you know, because it also goes to money as well, they always say that money that you've worked hard for, you will make sure that you take care of it, etc. But money that you're just giving, you see this thing of playing Dotum Fundis, if this money that you just get in Jay, it vanishes, you know, faster. So I love that, you know, with what you're doing there, you're allowing, you know, the community to be involved as well, because they will take care of the place, you know, because it's their work that they, it's not like someone just came and built something and left, you know.
Yeah. And maybe just one more, for us to be able to integrate local perspectives in decision making. Remember yesterday I was sharing that our plan was to come and build a skills, a discipleship training school that was going to utilize skills. But then the locals want a great school because then it will bring school closer. Then we must begin to then have this discussion and see how can we integrate this perspective into our decision making. Because it is in doing that that these people, like, these ones are really concerned about us. They're not bringing us something that we don't need. They're really bringing something that we need.
Yeah, ne? It is quite fascinating. And I think one day we must speak about this thing of things that come for free. Anyway, moving right along. You know, what lessons can, you know, the modern missionaries, you know, learn from the mistakes of the past? Because when we, there are people, the other day, I made an example saying, for example, in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, when they speak of missionaries, they mention people such as your Andersons, right? So meaning that when we're looking at that, and other missionaries that are there in other places, in other denominations, there were mistakes that they made, and we are learning from them now, you know. So what are some of those that, you know, as the modern-day missionaries, we can look at and say, okay, they did this, let me not do that because it didn't end well. Let me do this, you know, or they, even the good, oh, they did this. Let me do this because it actually, you know, yielded some good results.
So Like I mentioned, I think was it on Monday where I was saying there's material that I read that encourages me.
Mm-hmm.
I read from past missionaries just to see and be encouraged by what they did right and what they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So it's in doing that that I'm able to recognize historical harm and the ongoing impact. I think it's recently, I think it was in Uganda. In fact, there's a podcast about it where the community isn't happy about some missionaries that went to Uganda and did some work there.
Mm.
And there's a whole podcast talking about the harm they've done.
Yeah.
So in listening to that, I'm able to then see that I don't do the same in the community I've entered. Mm-hmm. Then there's another thing from the book I shared about God's Beautiful Farm, E.A. Sutherland, talking about how the work at Madison Farm developed. He was talking about how they picked the land. He had traveled with Ellen White. They were on a boat, and then the boat broke down. And they were looking for a land to put up a school.
Mm.
But when it broke down and they were waiting for it to be fixed and Ellen White was moving about trying to find somewhere to sit to rest, she says, this is where God wants us to put the school. And he wasn't happy because it was rocky. It didn't look very productive.
Mm.
So there are those mistakes we make where we choose the site based on what is good for our eyes. And yet we're not listening to God. So that's another thing to learn from. Then we also just must acknowledge this cultural bias and privilege that we have. That because I grew up in the city and I'm now in the village, there's a way I view life.
Yes.
There was a way I viewed life before.
Okay.
And I thought people in this particular village were lazy.
Mm.
I thought, man, you're living on vast land and you don't grow your own vegetables. You're walking 4 kilometers to the market to go get vegetables. But now living there, I see that not everyone has got wells.
Mm.
And it's just become easier for people to go and buy vegetables than to grow their own.
Mm.
You know? Another thing that we must learn to do is to prioritize local leadership.
Yes.
And ownership so that people feel this is our project. And just for us to just foster these relationships of mutual respect, because that's how the work is supported in an area. I like to say that if our churches, our local churches, ever closed,
okay,
would the community rise up to fight for them to remain open?
Hey!
Or would they not even notice that they've been closed? So when you put a work in a location where you've included the locals, they're the ones who are going to fight and say, no, this thing is benefiting us. Why are you closing it down?
Mm.
You know, so yeah.
Mm. Hey, the answer to that question, I think one day we should all ask ourselves that question. If you're a church, I can tell you. I'm trying to answer it, but well, we are not there today. You know, so how then now, Mfundisi, do we balance, you know, the good intentions, you know, of spreading faith, of spreading the gospel, you know, doing the great commission that we have been given with the need for to respect, you know, and honor local cultures, because we are agreeing that some of them, you'll be shook. You're like, you know, some of them, and
yeah,
also doing this, you know, honoring their cultures and spreading without compromising your own principles, because I think that one also becomes, you know, key, that you say, hey, as in I'm honoring them, I'm respecting their cultures, let me just do what they do here, but still giving them the way to, yet at the same time, you are compromising, you know, your principles. So how do we balance that?
Okay, so I think one of the first things I would say is must prioritize relationship building over conversion.
Okay.
Because that's what missionary work is. As you're getting into mission work, you know it's long term.
Mm.
So you're not in a rush to convert. You're getting there to build relationships, get to know the people and have them get to know you. It's how they will come to know God. There's a text in chapter 66, verse 18, if I can just quickly get to it, where God brings people to us so that they get to know him. So they know him through relating with us. I say that God has us in these different corporate jobs for a reason, because getting the same amount of money, you who is a believer is going to live life very differently. And your friends are going to come and ask, my friend, we're getting the same amount of money, but you're managing differently. What's going on? And then you have an opportunity to let them know that God has given you principles that you live by. In fact, yeah, so Isaiah 6:18 says, for I know their works and their thoughts. It shall be that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And then in the very next verse, towards the end, he says, there are people afar off who have not heard my fame, nor seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. So us prioritize relationship building over, because it's through them knowing them, they will speak like Ruth and say, your God, I want him to be my God, you know. Then we must also just respect local spiritualities and then work in that way, because then we can help people understand how God is experienced before we just rush at rubbishing local spiritualities.
Yes.
Then we must also focus on empowerment and not dependency, because if we have mission trips, people become dependent. You know, we have a trip for a week and then we're gone. And then in that week, we bring so many things, so many Western things. And then we go and not leave them empowerment. People now become dependent. And we can be easily deceived by the number of people that come every time we go on a mission trip. It's because they know we're bringing goodies, not because we're bringing Jesus. You know?
Yeah.
And so we must prioritize empowerment and not dependency, because dependency hurts people. You know, this thing we do, we go to orphanages, play with these kids and give them such hope and such love for one day.
Yes.
And then we leave. That stuff injures those people. We must have people who say, I'm going to go as a missionary to this orphanage for 3 years. So that in that 3 years, proper bonding has happened, but also proper separation has happened for people to realize this one can go, but they've given us themselves enough for this period they've been with us. Then also emphasize cultural exchange so that they see that you value their culture, and then they can see the value of your culture as well. So let them see how you live your life, how you utilize the same local resource to do things differently. So emphasize that exchange rather than imposition. So you're not coming to impose and say, oh, SDS don't dress like this. There's a reason why SDS don't dress like that, and it is because God has said. So help them see why God said SDS should not dress like this.
Yeah.
You know, and then, yeah, simply integrate, I guess, local perspectives in your decision making. Just look at what the local is doing. I mean, you can't force everyone to wear a jacket when they don't have money to get a jacket. So do things as is comfortable in the local setting. And if you have the money, go get them thrift clothes and come and give them so that they have some clothes for the Sabbath. If at all it bothers you so much.
Hey, Mpundisi, you have spoken. Even the Bible, Liti. See, I wanted to say it in Zulu now. Let those who have ears hear. You know, thank you so much, Mpundisi, for that. And you know, when you mentioned the thing about going for one, I'm like, you see, Mpundisi, now. Because I was planning something where we're going to go somewhere, you know, for one day.
If you plan it well, it works.
Yeah.
But go and focus on empowerment.
Yes.
Yeah, go and focus on empowerment.
Okay, I will text you on the side so you give me a nice idea, because there's something I want to do.
Okay, sure, no problem.
So as we wrap up this one, Fundis, I'm going to ask that you please do pray that as the missionaries that are already on site, those that are thinking of being missionaries and going out there, you know, so that they may do the right prep so that, you know, we don't butt heads there when we get to our locations.
Right. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, Christ left us with the promise that he is coming soon. While we wait, dear God, we are struggling with coming up with new ideas sometimes. We are struggling with just the long wait. But we desire to not do any harm in the process of doing this work. We want to continue to finish this work. We want to bring the gospel to everyone. We want to make disciples of our nations. But we now turn to you, dear God, because we know that unless you build, the builder builds in vain. And unless you are doing the work, we work in vain who work in missions. So God, give us ideas. God, give us new thoughts and help us in the work that we're doing. And for those that are thinking of getting into missions or doing any missionary work, my prayer, Heavenly Father, is that by your Spirit, you will inspire them with thoughts and ideas to bring to the communities you've helped them identify. Because it is you who has identified those areas for them to go to. It is you who has given them the burden. So please empower them to go and do what will be most helpful for that community. This is my asking in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pundis, thank you so much. May you have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you. You too, Zanele.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.